بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 11th of June in the year 2021 الحمد لله we moved on to the 82nd night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib radiyallahu anhu. And I've moved on to number 5 with regards to his rank and virtue. And it's where he's mentioned with other illustrious family members. And in somebody I mentioned last that Ali and Abbas once came to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when they entered, they asked, who do you love the most, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he said, Fatima, i.e. his daughter. They then asked, we have not come to ask you about i.e. your daughter. And then the Prophet himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved of my household, and he recited the verse, is the one on whom Allah Ta'ala has bestowed his grace, and I have bestowed my grace. Then he explained, Osama ibn Zayd, radiyallahu anhu. Thereafter, he was asked, who next? And he said, Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu anhu. And Abbas then said, you mentioned me last, Ya Rasulullah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Aliyan qad sabaqaqa bil hijra." Verily, Ali radiyallahu anhu performed hijra before you. So this is recorded in Tirmidhi number 3819, Hasan Sahih, Tabarani, Ruyani, and many others. So, why was Osama mentioned first? And it's because of the honor that was given to his father, which Mullah Ali Qari mentioned when Allah Ta'ala says, "An'ama Allahu alayhi wa an'amta alayhi." The one who had received the grace of Allah and your grace, this was Zayd ibn al-Haritha. And Mullah Ali Qari said, his son is also honored with this. But it is very important to highlight that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would alternate his answers, showing his intense love for all his beloved family. So this is very important. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wouldn't always give the same answer. Because he's most beloved to me, she's most beloved to me. Why would he change the answers? And the answer is, he will to show one and all, he loved them all. For instance, in Ibn Asakir, Abbas radiyallahu anhu said, once Ali ibn Abu Talib and myself radiyallahu anhu attended Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he saw us, he smiled. And he said, indeed I sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am the chief of all the children of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, and you both are the chief of all the Arabs. Subhanallah. I, sallallahu alayhi wasalam, am the chief of all the children of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, and you are the chief of all the Arabs. So Abbas and Ali, they are the Sayyid of the Arabs, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said. Specifically with regards to Abbas, in Kanz al-Umal, volume 6, page 163, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, everything has a peak. And the peak of this ummah is my uncle al-Abbas. Similarly, everything has an offshoot. And the offshoot of this ummah consists in al-Hasan and al-Husayn. So let's look at this. So note he's alternating. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now mentioning everything has a peak. And it's true. The human being has a peak, then he starts declining. Even if you look at the heavenly bodies, they have a peak, then they start declining. Everything has a peak and declines. So the Prophet said that everything has a peak. But then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the peak of this ummah, look how interesting. The peak of this ummah is my uncle, Abbas. Subhanallah. And then he said, everything has an offshoot. And the offshoot of my ummah is my grandsons, Hassan and Hussein, radiyallahu anhu. So now, what did he mean by peak? In Tirmidhi, Ad-Dur al-Mantur, volume 1, page 20, our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, everything has a peak. And the peak of the Quran is Surah Al-Baqarah. Subhanallah. Everything has a peak. And the peak of the Quran is Surah Al-Baqarah. Even the Quran, the Prophet said, it has a peak, the highest point. And the highest point of the Quran is the second Surah, Al-Baqarah. Confirming further, the Prophet said, Al-Baqarah is the pinnacle of the Quran. Al-Baqarah is the pinnacle of the Quran. This is recorded in Ahmad in his Musnad 5-26, Targheem number 1164. And Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in As-Sahiha 2-135. So the Prophet definitely said these words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Baqarah is the pinnacle of the Quran. So why was Abbas likened to Baqarah? The Prophet goes, the peak of my ummah is Abbas. The peak of the Quran is Baqarah. The analogy. Just as we locate the greatest verse of the entire Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayatul Kursi, we also locate the greatest of all the prophets and messengers, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, within his only father, who was alive at the time, the Venerable Abbas. Look how the scholars explain things. Why is Baqarah the peak of the Quran? It's a large surah. It's the longest surah. It's 2.5 juz, thereabouts. Because what's one of the verses, the greatest verse of the Quran? Surah 2, verse 255. So how is that linked to Abbas? Because the greatest of all the prophets is Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only one of his father who was alive at the time was who? Abbas. So the Prophet goes, the peak of this ummah. Subhanallah. And as for those who argue that Abbas was not the real father, Hawdhi Billah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then reflect upon what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 80 angels, alayhi salatu wa salam, came down with its verses and extracted Ayatul Kursi from under the arsh. It was joined with it. Subhanallah. 80 angels came down with its verses, Ay Surah Baqarah, and extracted Ayatul Kursi from under the arsh. It was joined with it. This is recorded in Ahmad in his Musnad 5-26, Targheeb, number 1164. And Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in As-Sahiha 2-135. So this is the honor of Surah Al-Baqarah. 80 angels came with the verse. Imagine, 286 verses, I believe. 80 angels came down with each of the verses. And Ayatul Kursi wasn't part of Baqarah. Allah Ta'ala took it from under the arsh, he put it in Baqarah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he could have placed it anywhere. Why has he placed it in Baqarah? He means there's something about Baqarah. Thus, just as we can now never separate Ayatul Kursi from Surah Al-Baqarah, because only a fool would do this, then the same is also true for our beloved messenger and his noble uncle Abbas. Look at how the Prophet's words, he's divinely inspired. Allah Ta'ala is making him say things that will explain other things. But the scholars extract this. So if somebody, for example, says to you, I don't believe Ayatul Kursi is part of Baqarah. He's got a point. You say, yes, but you're right. Allah Ta'ala did it. Originally, it was separate. But Allah Ta'ala put it into Baqarah. So now we can't. We have to say it's part of Baqarah. If he persists, would you call him a fool? Yeah. Now you're dangerous with it because Allah Ta'ala has put it into Baqarah because it's not part of Baqarah. The same is about Abbas. Abbas was the father of Rasulullah, his uncle. So if you start saying, no, it's not his real father. The same thing you can say to that person. It's dangerous to say that, brother. That's why the Prophet goes, he's the peak. So note Abbas. Now when I'm mentioning the virtues of Abbas, what are you thinking? You're thinking he's the greatest. Well, Rasulullah alternated. Sometimes he would say Osama ibn Zayd. Sometimes he would say Ali. Sometimes he would say, Aisha radiallahu anha. This is to show he loved them all. Other members of the family of the Prophet are mentioned. In Ibn Majah, number 4087. Hakim in his Mustadrak, number 4980. Kanzul Oman, number 34162. Anas radiallahu anha relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we, the children of Abdul Muttalib, will undoubtedly be the chiefs of paradise. Namely, myself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hamza, radiyallahu, Ali, Ja'afar, Hassan, Hussein, and the Mahdi, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So let's look at this. So our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the children of Abdul Muttalib, we are the chiefs of paradise. Meaning that Allah has given us that maqam. So who are they? The Prophet mentioned 7. He goes, myself. So obviously you don't bat an eyelid. Rahmatul Alameen, Sayyidul Alameen, chief of the universe, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said Hamza, the chief of martyrs, his uncle. Again, don't bat an eyelid. Then he mentioned Ali. Notice he's also mentioned with other great people. Then he mentioned Ja'far, Ali's older brother. Then he mentioned his grandsons, Hassan and Hussein. Look how amazing. He mentioned the Mahdi. The Prophet goes, the Mahdi is also the chief of paradise. He's not a Sahaba, but he's the son of Rasulullah. So if we have the honor of seeing him, you're actually seeing not a person of paradise, you're seeing a chief of paradise. So note Ali's right in the middle of these reports as well. In another report, in Tirmidhi number 3984, Ahmad in his Musnad 1-148, Mishkat volume 4 number 168, in the chapter on the companions in general, Sayyidina Ali himself relates, radiyallahu, that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna li kulli nabiyyin sab'ata nujaba'a wa luqaba'a wa u'titu ana arba'ata ashar. Verily every prophet, alayhi salatu wa sallam, had 7 nujaba'a, eminent men, luqaba'a, who were the very security guards, but I have graciously been given 14. So stop in the report. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was basically saying that every Prophet was given special people to help him. They were given support. Allah the Almighty and Glorious gave them support. So now it says, Kulli Nabiyyin, every Prophet. There's other reports which mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw a Prophet and he had nobody who followed him. So how do you reconcile these reports? If every prophet has got 7 eminent guards, 7 security guards, and you got a prophet who nobody followed, then where were his security guards or eminent people? So the response is, it means most of the prophets. Allah Ta'ala uses the word kullun, sometimes not to mean every, but most. So this is one explanation. Whatever the case, the prophet said these words, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 7 eminent men, 7 security guards. But then he says, I've been given 14. Because Allah Ta'ala loves his messenger more than his noble brothers and fathers, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the Prophet stopped. That's what the hadith of the Prophet stops. Ali was asked, but don't forget he narrated it. Manhum, who are they? Because you mentioned the hadith, or Ali from Rasulullah, 14. Who are the 14? So Ali himself answered, radiyallahu, myself, I'm one of them. My 2 sons, Hassan and Hussein, radiallahu anhum. My brother, Ja'far. My uncle, Hamza. Abu Bakr and Umar. Mus'ab ibn Umar. Bilal. Salman. Ammar. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abu Dharr. And Miqdad. So look how interesting. This hadith has got 2 parts to it. The first part from Rasulullah, he didn't mention the 14. Because I've been given 14. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They asked Ali, who are they? Meaning, have you got knowledge of it? Now, did Ali work it out? So the obvious response is, even if he did work it out, that's good enough for us. But far more likely, he must have heard this from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why did he not relate it back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because taqwa, they don't like relating back. So whatever the case, who are the 14 gods? Now look how they're described by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: Nujaba'a wa Luqaba'a, eminent God's eminent, meaning they're eminent and they're special, extra special. Five of them are Ahlul Bayt. Look how he mentions Ali. I'm one of those Allah Ta'ala appointed to look after the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His two sons to God. Now question, how can the two grandsons guard the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So obviously it means the deen. After, when they get older, they mature, they themselves would greatly protect these deen. And if you look at the lives of the honorable grandsons, you can see it. Ja'far, in the lifetime of the Prophet, he was martyred. So obviously on the field of Mu'tah. Hamza was martyred, obviously. And look how interesting, after the Ahlul Bayt, Ali then said, Abu Bakr and Umar. Meaning they are amongst them. And of course, the two sheikhs of this Ummah. Mus'ab ibn Umar, who was martyred in the Battle of Uhud, the ambassador of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bilal, the Mu'azzin, who was guarding the time of prayer and all the duties given to him by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salman al-Khair, Salman al-Farsi, the one who was the first to translate the Quran into another language. Ammar ibn Yasir, who was Ali's right-hand man and was martyred in the Battle of Siffin, which we'll mention if he's still alive. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, imagine, Allah Ta'ala chose him to protect this deen. Now what do fruitcakes say? No, he had a weak memory. Allah Ta'ala chose him, and he's got a weak memory. Abu Dhar, the ascetic, keeping people away from the dunya. And Miqdad, the knight of Islam. So these were the 14. And who is mentioned in the 14? Ali. So note, he's got his own virtues singled out. And he's got his name mentioned with elite giants also. Radiallahu ta'ala. Indeed, with regards to the utmost veneration and honor the august Ahlul Bayt most assuredly deserve, there are many, many reports. First and foremost, the reason that these noble souls are so dear to the believers is simply due to our love and veneration for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is very important. If you ask the Muslims, do you love the Ahlul Bayt? Of course. When you ask the second question, people don't know how to answer. Why do you love them? If you say this, because they were great people, that's not the answer. You love them because of your love for Rasulullah. You cannot give another answer. Why? Because Rasulullah gave you the answer. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where's the hadith? Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he nourishes you with his blessings. Love me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and love the people of my house due to love of me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's look at this. Recorded in Tirmidhi, number 3789, Hassan Gharib, Tabarani, number 2639, or 3-46, Hakim in his Mustadrak, 3-150, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih. So, three things the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You must love all of them. You must love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he gave you a reason. Because he nourishes you with of his blessings. Allah ta'ala is blessing you and blessing you. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةُ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا. If you try to count the blessings of Allah, you would never enumerate them. Allah Ta'ala goes, you can't even count my blessings. So Allah Ta'ala, the Prophet said, love him because of that. Because of his extraordinary love and attention towards you. So that's the ultimate reason we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love me? Why? You ask people, why are you ashik? And they come out with, you know, bayans, right? Love me because due to the love of Allah. Allah Ta'ala loves him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we love him because Allah Ta'ala loves him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, love my family. Why? Due to your love of me. Look how interesting. When it comes to the family, we love them because of Rasulullah. So why do we love Ahlul Bayt? Because we love Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now why is that important? Because that shows they're not on the same level. The Rawafid have put them on the same level as Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We love Ahlul Bayt because we love Rasulullah. They say no, they're all up there. Masoom. What's the world famous narration? Zayd ibn Arqam radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am leaving amongst you amidst two things. The first of them is the book of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Ahl Bayti. This is in Sahih Muslim, Riyad al-Salihin, Ibn Jarir, Kanz al-Umal, volume 5, page 95, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, volume 7, page 682 of the English translation, Mishkat, volume 4, number 6, in the chapter on the people of the Prophet's household, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 561 of the New English translation. So this is part of a long report, the relevant part I've extracted. I am leaving amongst you amidst two things. So when did the Prophet say this? In the farewell Hajj. 2 months before he left the world. So he's actually telling you, when I leave, these are the two things you cling to. The first is Kitabullah, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, my family. Cling to them. Now, why? Why did he mention his family with the Quran? In Tirmidhi and Mishkat, volume 4, number 19, in the chapter on the people of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's household, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they, I, the Quran and my family, will never separate till they will come to the fountain. Thus consider how you act regarding them after me. They, I, the Quran and my family, will never separate till they will come to the fountain, I, on the day of judgment. Thus consider how you act regarding them after me. So here's one reason. The Quran and the family will never separate, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And you will meet them at the fountain. Then he says, therefore I've warned you. Meaning, cling to them. If you don't cling to them, will you meet the Prophet at the fountain? No. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this is critical. The Rawafid, they say, this proves the family of Ma'asum. Because the Quran and the family never separate. The Quran is infallible. It's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The family, the Prophet said it, they will never separate. So they say, look, we're telling you the 12 Imams, they're ma'asoom. The hadith is telling you that. This subhanallah does not mean, as ignoramuses have done, try to explain, to elevate the Ahlul Bayt above their status. Why? Because there's another report. In Tirmidhi, number 3788, Hassan Gharib, Ahmed in his Musnad 3-17, with a Sahih chain of transmission, Zayd ibn Arqam radiyallahu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed I, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am leaving amongst you that if you hold fast to it, you will never be misguided after me. One of them is greater than the other. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a rope extended from the sky to the earth. And my family, the people of my house, they shall not split until they meet me at the Houd. So look at how you deal with them after me. So now this hadith is critical. Our beloved messenger is explaining exactly the status of the family. What are the clear words he uttered about his family and the Quran? One of them is greater than the other. Hang on. The Quran is what? Allah Ta'ala's speech. Is it protected? Yes. Sunnah is divine speech. Is it protected? Ahlul Bayt, are they protected? Why? Because the Prophet said, one of them is greater than the other. You're going to be listening to what the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning that the status of the Quran is highest. It is a must to follow its commands. Hence the deeds and actions of our beloved messenger's family are to be tested according to this standard. Thus disproving the stance of infallibility, which as I've mentioned many moons ago. Think about that. If they were infallible, the Prophet wouldn't have said that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you go to just one or two hadiths, you get that impression. They'll never separate. Oh, if they never separate, why am I going to anybody else? You go to the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes. What else did the Prophet say? One of them is greater than the other. So if they're both equal, the Prophet wouldn't have said that. We don't start saying Rasulullah can make a mistake. Rasulullah is possible because he's protected. The Quran and Sunnah is protected. The Ahlul Bayt has to be verified by the Quran and the Sunnah. Then it becomes the gauge. But Rasulullah said they will not separate, meaning Allah Ta'ala will look after them by His great kindness and mercy. And this is why I mentioned that, because this is explaining not to go to extremes when it comes to the family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Another report. In Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Mishkat, volume 4, number 697W, in the chapter on the people of the prophetic household, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu, he was holding the door of the Kaaba, and he said, verily the example of Ahli Bayti amongst you are like Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's ark. Thus he who sails on it will be safe, but he who holds back perishes. SubhanAllah. So let's look at this. So this is a hadith recorded in Ahmad. Some say it's a statement of Abu Dharr. So either Abu Dharr said this, or the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The more authentic narrative is Abu Dharr said it. But like, you got to know about the companions. He was one of the senior companions. He's holding onto the door of the Kaaba. So why is he doing that? Because he wants people to realize that he has absolute conviction in what he's telling you. When you ever say to somebody, brother, don't you trust me? He goes, look, to prove I'm telling you the truth and you hold onto the door of the Kaaba, would you ever do that? Unless you knew that what you're saying is 110% true. So he's holding onto the door of the Kaaba. And what does he say? The example of the Ahlul Bayt is like Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's ark. So why did he mention that? He who sails on it is safe. He who holds back is doomed. So how do you sail on the Ahlul Bayt? You honor, you respect, and you follow them. If you don't honor, respect, and follow them, you will perish. And did anybody survive the flood? Nobody. Except who? The people who were on the ark. Even the son of Nuh drowned. Right? And died. And many others mentioned in the hadiths. But those on the ark, and there was 80, only 80 of them. They survived. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam being one of them. And Abu Dharr said, this is the Ahlul Bayt. Thus, there is undoubtedly no refuge from misguidance and destruction except with the august Ahlul Bayt. There's no doubt about that. SubhanAllah. So now, who was the Sayyid of the Banu Hashim? Obviously, who was the Sayyid after the Prophet left the world? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Ali. So why was Abbas not the Sayyid of Banu Hashim? He's the uncle of Rasulullah. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In fact, Rasulullah was the nephew of Abbas. When have the Arabs ever given their nephew? They make him the Sayyid over the uncles. But Rasulullah, we understand, because he was given the Nubut. Why was Ali placed above Abbas?
Because of my migration.
I mentioned that yesterday. But that was out of love. This doesn't explain why he was the Sayyid of Banu Hashim. I mentioned it many moons ago. You gotta go back. No. You gotta go back to what incident? The third year of the prophethood. What happened in the third year of the prophethood?
Public.
Okay. So he went public, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who did he go public to first? Why did he go to his family first?
He commanded.
Allah Ta'ala commanded it. What happened?
They refused.
So they invited, he invited his family. How many days did he invite his family?
3 days.
3 days. Small amount of food and drink. They could finish a calf of the, a goat of the hadith says. Food and drink wasn't finishing. They saw miracles. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what did he say? Who will help me and succeed me, i.e. in authority amongst my family? And Ali radiallahu anhu, what did he say? Because I was the youngest, but nobody was getting up, so I got up. And then what happened? The Prophet goes, "You, O Ali, you." So that is why Ali became the Sayyid of the Banu Hashim, even though Abbas was still alive, radiallahu. So now, why is that fascinating? If he's the Sayyid of the Banu Hashim, he is the Sayyid of the Ahlul Bayt. So these reports that I'm mentioning about the Ahlul Bayt, if you're in the Ahlul Bayt, you've got all this honor. What if you are the chief of the Ahlul Bayt after Rasulullah? So when I said to you, Noah's Ark, alayhi salatu wasalam, and Noah's, what is it? It's the Ahlul Bayt. Who is the captain of that ship? Ali, radiallahu. Look at his status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So out of the Khilafah Rashideen, he was Ahlul Bayt. Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman were not, radiallahu ta'ala. So he combined Khilafat with the Ahlul Bayt. And this is why it was fascinating. It only lasted a short period, Ali and his son. And then he went back to the Banu Umayyah. So note again, this is why I'm mentioning these reports here. But like I mentioned, don't go to extremes. They have an eminent status. But we relate as Rasulullah related, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all I mentioned today was basically now again talking where his blessed name is mentioned with his noble family members. And unending virtues of the great Sayyidina Ali and of course the august Ahlul Bayt, radiyallahu ta'ala. Are there any questions you want to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الى الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان الذي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم